Everyone can move forward, inshallah, fill out the gaps. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واتلو عليهم نبأ بني آدم بالحق إذ قربا قربانا فتقبل من أحدهما ولم يتقبل من الآخر قال لأقتلنك قال إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين فإن مثلت إلي لتقتلني ما أنا بباسط يدي إليك لأقتلك إني أخاف الله رب العالمين إني أريد أن تبوء بإثمي وإثمك فتكون من أصحاب النار وذلك جزاء الظالمين فطوعت له نفسه قتل أخيه فقتله فأصبح من الخاسرين فبعث الله غرابا يبحث في الأرض ليريه كيف يواري سوءة أخيه قال يا ويلتا أعجزت أن أكون مثل هذا الغراب فأواري سوءة أخيه فأصبح من النادمين. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to be here, mashallah, to continue the series about the greatest people who walked on the face of the earth, the Anbiya alayhi wassalam. May dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he grant us benefit from these bayanat. Allow us, inshallah ta'ala, to take this nasiha home and convey it to others, inshallah ta'ala. We are on the section of the final part, hopefully, inshallah ta'ala. Today we'll wrap up the story of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Just to give a brief summary of what we started from, is that we started from talking about the creation of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam being made from humble dirt. And so it's a reminder to all of mankind that they should be humble and they should not be arrogant. And we also understand that Adam alayhi salam was, along with his humility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him with a specific purpose and responsibility that he would become the Khalifa, the one who would take charge of the earth and maintain responsibility for the earth. And so having said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he taught him the various things of the entire world. عَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Allah taught him the names of everything. And so he became superior through his knowledge to such a degree that when the angels were asked about the same thing, we remember that Sayyidina Adam, he championed or he defeated the angels in this test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had provided. To the point that Allah Ta'ala made the angels make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, showing that in essence, Adam alayhi salam is like the qibla of the earth, right? He's the qibla of the world, rather, the qibla of the universe. That all of humanity is, in its essence, it can be something superior to even angels, if they are those that learn and those who practice on what they learn. And we learned, and this is also, by the way, just a subtle point, you know, just something interesting to keep in mind. You know, this example of like being the greatest of all of creation is what we see in the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the same exact way. Right, Adam alayhi salam was shown superiority because he was a human. So the Prophet was made an Arab, which is in terms of its in its essence is something which is superior to everything. The language itself is most superior, right? The Quran was revealed in Arabic, etc. And then along with that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was made the last of all prophets. The same Adam alayhi salam was basically the last of the, you know, like the beautiful piece on top that, or the, you know, if you have a beautiful building and one brick is missing, the same way Adam alayhi salam completed that building, the same way the Prophet completes the building of prophethood as well, alayhi salatu salam. To the point that you even see in the similarity between Adam alayhi salam and Iblis' story, the same way Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam, right, the people were jealous of him, right? People were upset at him. Why is he made a prophet? He came so much later, right? He's so much younger than us, right? Same way Adam alayhi salam, he came much later than Iblis. Iblis did the same exact thing. There's so many similarities to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam throughout the story. And so the same way, subhanAllah, that the angels made sajda to Adam alayhi salam, they recognized his superiority. The same way sajda was made before Yusuf alayhi salam because his brothers recognized the superiority. Similarly, all of Quraysh submitted to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam eventually because of the superiority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's so much that's behind it. If we had time, we could talk about more, but you know, may Allah bless the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, alf taslimat wa salatu wa salam ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There's so much we can discuss about it. So we talked about how Adam alayhi salam, thereafter, the jealousy of Iblis, he refused to bow down. And so we recognize that Iblis, when he was asked about that question about why did you do it, he blamed Allah. He blamed Adam. He said, this is all his fault. This is all your fault, Allah, because of the fact that you made me do such and such. And Iblis was not willing to. And this is the difference, right? When a person takes responsibility, it means you have to take the blame and the fault too if you make a mistake. And so you can see clearly the issue of Iblis here. He wasn't willing to take the fault. He was willing to blame others. A leader cannot do that. A leader has to be someone who's responsible and say that, you know what, I'm at fault here. That's what we noticed from the story here. So thereafter, Allah Ta'ala banished Iblis. And then we talked about it last time as well, mashallah, that Adam alayhi was placed into Jannah. And the Jannah didn't feel like Jannah until, subhanAllah, he was able to find his spouse. Right? And this is the idea of Sakina, true Sakina. And I mean this, okay, for all my brothers here, mashallah. True Sakina will come if you just accept the fact that Allah has created her for me and Allah has created him for her. The idea that a person should recognize that this spouse was chosen by Allah for myself. Okay, to perfect me, right? Not to say that it's a perfect relationship that's going to be like Jannah every single day, but it's something that is part of, you will inshallah develop, she will develop, and you will both improve together. It is a process in reality. That's what it is. So having said that, mashallah, reminding ourselves that there is Sakina there. I'm telling you, after everything, moving past all the arguments and discussions and fights and whatever, there is a Sakina, mashallah, that Allah has promised there. So may Allah grant us that understanding, allow us to see it, and may Allah allow us to live through it, inshallah, and experience it, inshallah. You know, we notice it with people that get a little older. We probably notice it too with our own parents, right? Eventually, you know, they become like two owls sitting at home and they can't seem to live without each other, right? So it's very strange. Like, for example, my mother would be out for 2 weeks and then she's just wondering about my dad. My dad's wondering about her. And then when they're together, they're just cranky, just yelling at each other, shouting at each other. But it just seems like just an organic relationship, you know? It's just kind of like, it's just how it is, you know? So having said that, may Allah grant us those golden years, you know? Ameen, ya Rabbana, ameen. So then thereafter, we know that Iblis goes to Adam alayhi salam, and he slowly tries to bring him towards the tree which Allah has forbidden. And then, you know, he goes and close, and slowly but surely, Adam forgets. And this is the big thing. Adam forgets. And it's a reminder to all of us about the power of satanic influence. The shaitani influence is so powerful. And shaitan is so consistent. And he's so regular in giving us the deception. That even like the Anbiya alayhi salam, seeking refuge in Allah from shaitan is very important here. Forgetfulness can occur to everyone, right? So Adam alayhi salam, he actually, when Allah Ta'ala is telling, oh Adam, why did you eat from the tree? It mentioned one narration, Ibn Abbas narrates it. He said, ya Allah, I didn't think that anyone could take your name and say qasam on it. Right? I never thought that anyone could take a qasam on your name and then lie about it. But ya Allah, they said, wallahi, I'm speaking the truth, right? So then when shaitan said such things, Adam alayhi salam believed it and he said, you know, it must be the truth there. So then thereafter, Allah Ta'ala, and this is the thing we want to remind ourselves, inshallah, the final thing, and we'll continue forward, is that we have to recognize that this was in the plan of Allah Ta'ala all along. Adam Aysam knew for a fact as well that he wasn't going to stay in Jannah forever. One of the things Iblis promised him was that if you eat from the tree, you'll become someone who lives forever, right? Someone who can live forever. Adam Aysam learned the names of everything. Obviously, he already knew that death is going to come one day. And you know, one day he's going to leave that place. The main thing is that's the lesson that he learned before he left that place. What was the lesson that he learned? The beautiful lesson that he learned was Tawbah. Your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how you can repent. By repenting, you will connect again with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what happens, you can always reestablish that connection with Allah azza wa jal. If ever anything happens in this world, any mistake, whatever, oh Adam, you remember how to connect back with me? Rabbana zalamna anfusana. And now you get to see why Adam alayhi salam is actually superior to Iblis. The clear reason here is because Adam alayhi salam, when he was told by Allah, why did you do such a thing? Adam did not blame Iblis. If you ask me, and if I were asked anyone here, I think like pointing the finger at Iblis would have been almost like, okay, kind of justified. You know, this is totally his fault. But a leader takes responsibility. A leader will tell himself, you know what, I'm at fault here. I made the mistake. I have to own up to my own mistake. And that's what he did. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you want to remember this. If you take leadership of anything, responsibility, it is not leader-like. It is not correct if you are a responsible individual to go and blame your children, to blame your wife, to blame this or blame that. Take fault on yourself and just say, ya Allah, I made a mistake. Okay? And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. The Prophet, the leader always takes the hardest part of every single work. The leader will take always the biggest burden of that work. When the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were in the trenches of Khandaq and they were all digging the trenches, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they went to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, we're hungry. And so they lifted up their cloaks and they saw that there was one stone tied to their stomachs. In that time, they used to tie stones to their stomachs to kind of reduce the feeling, the pangs of hunger. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I too am hungry. And he lifted up his own cloak and you see that there were two stones inside the Mubarak stomach of the Prophet ﷺ. Meaning that I'm experiencing the same thing, if not double what you all are experiencing. And this is the reality of a leader. You love to follow someone like that, right? That shows that, guys, I'm telling you guys, pray the Hajjus, I'm trying my best here too. You know, Fajr is not easy for me either. And that's how it has to be. We all have to work together to get to where we need to go to. So Adam ﷺ, he comes down like that. Before he leaves that area, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does a number of things. There are so many things that are mentioned in the hadith. The time is not clear, but this is something we can put here. The Prophet says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he took from the back of Adam alayhi salam, he took out all of his lineage, all of his progeny. All of his lineage, all of his progeny. How many people are we talking about? Right? This is going to be in the billions and possibly trillions of people that are going to be, Allah alam, that were there since the time of Adam alayhi salam, all the way to the end of time. Adam alayhi salam sees all of them. He sees some of them on his right side, some of them on his left side, some of them with blackened faces, some of them with beautified and shining faces. And so then he asks, hey Allah, who are these people? Allah Ta'ala tells him, Adam, these are the people of the fire. And Allah says, who are those? And Adam alayhi salam says, yes, Allah, and Allah, who are those people? The ones with the shining faces. They're the people of Jannah. He sees one face which is shining before, you know, in front of all of them, more magnificent than everyone's. And he said, ya Allah, who is that? So that's Dawood alayhi salam. And Allah, Adam alayhi salam asks, he says, Allah, how long is he going to live? You know, he's such a beautiful man. Is it just 60 years? Oh, the tenderness of a father. And he said, Allah, how long am I going to live? 1,000 years. Allah, can I give him 60, can I give him another 40 years of my life? Right? I want to complete what he has. Because a father, you know, you would give everything for your children. If you can give your life, you'll give more. You give everything and more, subhanAllah. That's what it means to be, again, a responsible father figure. So Allah says, no problem. It's going to come back at the end of the story. Don't worry. We'll come back here. Stay tuned for that. Okay. Adam alayhi salam, he does this and is told by Allah that this is the idea that there is something that's going to happen in the earth. People are going to accept Allah and reject Allah. Both of these things are going to happen in the earth. And this is the big responsibility that Allah has sent with Adam alayhi salam. You are there to instruct and teach mankind about what it means to worship me, what it means to live for me, and what it means to die for me. To teach them the kalima, la ilaha illallah. Every prophet is entrusted with that reality. So Adam alayhi salam comes down, Hawa alayhi salam comes down. In terms of where they came down, we got like a whole bunch of stuff. Some people said India. Some people, they tell me the footprint of Adam is in Sri Lanka. Some people tell me that it was like Safa and Marwa. Some people said that they met up in Arafah. That's also Arafah. It's called Arafah. Arafah means to recognize. As we said, they were recognized there. I don't know. Okay. You don't know. Allah knows best. The Prophet did not speak about where they landed. It's not relevant to the discussion whatsoever. It's kind of interesting if we can figure it out. If you find another large footprint, be my guest and send it my way. If you find out some deeper speculation, I'm happy to hear these things, mashallah. We can have a nice, enjoyable conversation about it. Okay. In terms of when they landed, the only thing we have from the hadith of the Prophet is that the Prophet said they landed on Jum'ah. Right, so it's either the Adam alayhi salam, he was in the same Jummah that he was created, the same Jummah he was sent down to the earth. Because again, Jannah is a very timeless place. So it makes sense that if it was just the same time you were created, the same time you were placed in this earth, it's possible that he was there for multiple Jummahs and then later on he also came down. Wallahu a'lam again about the reality of the matter. Adam alayhi salam, he comes down and because of his knowledge that he has, Allah taught him all these things. So immediately he knows that, okay, I have to till the soil, I have to plow. I have to plant these seeds, I have to do this and this, I have to water this, and subhanAllah, now he starts to create food. It's no longer like Jannah, where everything was given to him, provided for him. Now he has to make sure his clothes are mended, take care of his clothes, establish his clothes, etc., etc. All the different things Adam has to do. So he makes the food, he mends it all, right? And now subhanAllah, the lineage of human beings has to start. And so, since we're on this topic, I just want to quickly just address a point of evolution, where a person will say that things have evolved from other beings, leading from a common ancestor, all the way to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, or to the first human beings, whatever it may be. So having said that, you know, from an Islamic standpoint, and this is the thing everyone keeps in mind. If it were, you know, we can speak about this for a while. I feel like I'm too much invested in these types of topics. My students know, mashallah, that we speak about these issues quite regularly to kind of figure out some objections and arguments and discussions about it. And so, you know, holding the theory aside from any of the little issues or technical logical points that there might be some problems with the theory in itself. Holding all of the things aside, if a person wanted to say, you know, okay, I want to believe, you know, this is what the theory says, that animals have evolved from one another. Islamically speaking, if animals did evolve from one another, we have no issue whatsoever, right? If it's Allah Ta'ala could have made them in any single way. He could have made them in the exact form they came down, or it could have been that the fish evolved into the lizard, evolved into the T-Rex, or whatever it might be, okay? Whatever it is, right? Whatever way it went up, that's not an issue. The only issue comes from where? If you say the monkeys have evolved to human beings, because what does Allah Ta'ala tell us where the human beings come from? Allah Ta'ala says that خَلَقَهُ مِن تُرَاب ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُن فَيَكُن. He created him from dirt, and thereafter he said كُن فَيَكُن. The existence, the khalq of Adam alayhi salam and human beings is not worldly. It's not of this earth. Rather, he came from Jannah, right? So in reality, his homeland, his origin is actually the shawqa watan, right? The place that you desire to be should be Jannah. He's actually, his original residence is in Jannah. That's why people here, you never find contentment. Because if you're far away from home, how are you always going to feel? I wish I can go back home. So we're never going to feel content until you get back to your actual home. right? So Adam alayhi salam, same way, right? SubhanAllah. So this is the idea that people need to understand. Human beings, they are separated from everything else. And so we understand, if anyone wants to point at, you know, just some stuff they can stop, they study, right? They study Australopithecus, Homo habilis, Homo erectus, all these different types of homos, right? So many of them, right? So then you study all of them, and they're wondering, like, okay, if you're saying this is what our biology textbooks say, that's fine. I mean, look, I told you already, we don't know when Adam alayhi salam came to this earth. The exact time he came in, that's not known. That's not the Prophet did not tell us this. Adam al-Lusi rahmatullahi and Ruhul Ma'ani very explicitly mentions it. He says that as to where, when he actually came, Allah knows best about the matter. So look, wherever they said humanity started from, like actual humans that have free will, that have choice, that can create civilizations, you can just say Adam has started before all of that. Okay? You can just say Adam has started before all of that. And all the other guys came out. And people say, hey, what about like the ape man and the different types of things, right? I said, okay, that's fine. I mean, like you have like, you know, the hadith of the Prophet describes a certain punishment of Allah Ta'ala called mask, which is due to deform or to deface someone. So it's possible that people were punished by Allah Ta'ala and they were made into such people and those fossils were preserved and people found them later on. What's another possibility? Allah Ta'ala literally says in the Quran, kunu qiradatan khasi'in, become despicable monkeys. Okay, this is actually a punishment in the Quran that people will look like possibly. Again, this is a possibility, you know, without damaging our belief. You know what I'm saying? And so if a person wanted to say that these are just the deformed communities of the past, Allah Ta'ala just left them there and that's what, you know, came up afterwards, that's completely fine. You know, if you look at the study of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, by the way, Ya'juj and Ma'juj are very interesting looking creatures. And it doesn't escape us to also discuss this as well. It's possible that's just their fossils to Allah alam. There are many ways to explain it. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to say here. There are many ways to describe it and explain it without sacrificing your Islamic belief in the Quran. Because we know for a fact, and this is the thing, whatever scientist tries to do patchwork and figure out what history looked like, we know exactly what history is because Allah told us it. If Allah tells you directly, who are you going to believe then? Are you going to believe some theory that someone will come up with and then say that these are the evidences we have? Or you can believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually saw the moment and knows exactly what happened. And that's the idea we have to keep in mind. The Quran takes decisiveness. The Quran takes precedence over everything. And everything else has to be built on the Quran, not the other way around. If you do that, your Quran understanding will change year by year, day by day, moment by moment. Allah forgive us and protect us from that, inshallah ta'ala. And they will give you a lot of stuff. If you guys, mashallah, you guys heard this, 98% is like, we're like 98% similar in genetic, in DNA to chimpanzees or something. Yeah, if you study like 2% of it, and that's what happened, right? They said that when you look at 2% of the genome, it was 98% similar to chimpanzees. And very interestingly, like, you know, if you're looking at bananas, you know, some studies have said that it ranges from 50% to 84% similar to them. But I don't see any of you guys being yellow, you know. And strawberry is also 50%. A slug is 70%. You and I share very similar organs to lab rats, you know. Does that make you a rat? You know what I'm saying? And a pig, you know, when people need to do a very strong, like, to try to flush out the body of the blood, right, to filter the blood, what do they use? They use a pig sometimes because the liver is very strong. Right? It can take away all the toxins of the body. So are you telling us all pigs? You know what I'm saying? This type of analogy is not, it's a very broken one. You know what I'm saying? So having said that, it's just keep in mind, a lot of people feed you a lot of things. Don't sacrifice your aqidah, your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything. Okay? Having said all those things, I do agree that, mashallah, we're very similar to the creatures of this earth because Allah ta'ala made us similar for a reason. Why is the similarity there? Something very unique that angels do not have. That you can experience hunger, you experience sleep, you experience thirst, you experience things that other animals do. Why do you experience these things? So you can relate to them, you can understand them, right? So you have a similar body to them because you were created from the same dirt they're created from too. Why not? And so there is a similarity. Again, the point is that Allah Ta'ala has made us the same, so that way you can relate to them, that way you don't abuse them, you don't harm them, inshallah ta'ala. What's another thing we understand? Allama Kashmiri took it even further than that, rahmatullahi alayhi. Allama Kashmiri said that human beings in their nature, they're like the entire earth in itself. They said that his hair is like the grass on the ground. The blood that goes through his veins and his arteries is like the rivers that are found in the earth, subhanAllah. The body structure he has like the mountains, subhanAllah. He says that the whole earth is found within an insan. It's such a beautiful thing if you look at what the human being, how the human being is made, mashallah. So Allah Ta'ala made us like so. I'm sorry for all this other monkey business. We'll get back to the original story now, okay? So Adam alayhi salam. So Hawa alayhi salam and him, they are the from the Quran. Ya ayyuhan nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. Ya Allah, we created mankind from a single male, a single female. They are the source of all of human beings to come. So some narrations have mentioned the Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Hawa alayhi salam used to have children at one time that were born as twins, and children at a later time that were born as a set of twins as well, one male and female. So these fraternal twins that were born, male and female, so there was a little bit of a, in order to make sure that there was some separation between the marriages that were conducted. So that at least as much separation as you can make, So they were used to cross marriage. So if there was a boy and girl married, you know, that was born at one time, and a boy and girl that was married another time, so then the boy from the second group would marry the girl from the first group, and the girl from the first group had the boy from the second group, to create some type of separation, some type of fuck between them. It could have been one child. It could have been a lot of things. Again, like, we don't have specifics. The Prophet did not mention these types of things, but it is something that is relevant to the story, possibly. So that's why we want to mention it. So this cross-marrying was happening to keep as much distance as possible. Obviously, there's no other humans to marry, right? Someone actually asked me in the morning, actually. They said, that wouldn't that mean that, you know, wouldn't that mean that all humans are deformed because it's kind of like incest? I said that, yeah, man, you know, like, you have to kind of think about what you're saying, first of all, right? You know, first of all, there's no other humans to mate with, first of all. You know, what are you going to do? The Bible is completely silent about this matter, completely, you know? It just, like, there was Adam and Hawa, alayhim as-salam, and then suddenly, like, just a whole bunch of women just came out of nowhere. Like, you know, it's just kind of, where did that come up? You know, we're trying to get a solution for an answer which we haven't seen, right? This is the thing. So having said that, I told him, no, you're not thinking about how big is the genetic makeup of Adam alayhi salam. If the genes are very similar to one another, very close to one another, then yeah, then I would say that maybe some deformities emerge because incest does lead to that, right? There's too many crosses, right? But if it's like Adam alayhi salam, who has the genes of everyone, if he has children, you know, like 50 here, 50 there, it's going to be a huge genome. There's so much distinction, so much separate, there's so much dissimilarity that it's not going to be similar to anyone. Like, you can't really call that incest whatsoever. But having said that, as much separation as they could make, so one child will be born there and one child will be born here, they create that separation. Two of the children that were born in that time, one of them was called Habil, the other one was called Qabil. Habil and Qabil. These are the two children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam that were born. Right? In the Bible, you get Cain and Abel. The Cain and Abel story in the Bible has a lot of gaps. Genesis is in Genesis 4, that's where it's discussed, has a lot of gaps in it and a lot of parts that need to be filled in, particularly one incident which we'll get into. But the Quran, obviously, is what we're going to be looking at. So Cain and Abel were two sons of Adam alayhi salam that were in this world. And along with when Adam alayhi salam came down and Hawa alayhi salam came down, there was a third individual that came down with them to make sure that whatever I could do, I will send them to Jahannam. And who was that individual? It was Iblis or Shaitan. And this is the dangerous thing, right? This is the lesson that we're going to learn here. وَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بَنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. Allah says it in such beautiful words. Wallahi, this is going to be like one of the greatest, to me, is one of the greatest stories in the Quran. The message that Allah gives us in such short amount of words are so profound and so important, subhanAllah, that we need to reflect on these things. So it's mentioned about the story that possibly Habil, when he's supposed to be married to Qabil's sister, and Qabil was just married to Habil's sister, Qabil didn't want to get married to Habil's sister. He found that his own sister was much more attractive than that one. Okay, this is a reminder to everyone that please be very careful. Make sure lowering our gaze is extremely important. Badul basar, right? To lower our gaze. Because when you drop your guard, that's when shaitan can attack. And so when people, they drop their guard the most when they're on family. So Qabil was not satisfied. He said, you know what? No, I don't want to marry that girl. This girl is much more beautiful for me. I'd rather marry her. And this is how shaitan can attack a person. Be very careful, right? May Allah protect us and save our souls from this terrible, damaging reality. Unfortunately, we find many stories, cousins going off with cousins and this uncle going off with this and that. This type of thing is a reality. You have to be very careful. Protect your family, protect your children. Qabil, he goes and argues and he says that no. So Adam, he goes to Adam alayhi salam, says, oh Adam, oh father, this is the argument we're having. So Adam I suggested to them, he said that Allah Ta'ala is here. If you want, go ahead, give a sacrifice. Okay, the sacrifice from Habil was he was a shepherd, and so he took the finest of his goats and he said, Ya Allah, I give this to you as sadaqah. I want to give this as qurban, right? And then they go to Habil, and then Qabil, he was a farmer, and so instead of giving something which was choicey nice, he gave one of the lowest quality things that he had. I said, Ya Allah, this is for you, right? So not sacrifice any of his wealth. He rather give off the measly, weak part of it, the part that he didn't need or what required whatsoever. Say, you know what? I can give this away for Allah. And so then he said, this is what I bargained for Allah Ta'ala. This is what I want to give to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. All right? وَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بَنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. It's possible this is the reality. It's possible there's another thing. Okay? Recite the story of Adam alayhi salam, the children of Adam alayhi salam, the two children of Adam alayhi salam with the truth. إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانَ. When both of them placed forward a qurban. We usually do qurbani, right? Qurbani in udhiyah. Okay? This is very relevant to us as well. Many times we see the price of the goat and we say, no, it's too expensive. Yeah, what was the goal? What was the objective of giving it? You know, to give the choices and best of all selections for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want an answer from Allah. We want something from Allah. We want Jannah from Allah. Jannah is extremely pricey, extremely expensive. A place where you can get whatever you want, whenever you want it, wherever you want it, that's what Jannah is. You thought that place is going to be cheap? Allah says, give the best that you can. Give proper qurban. And both of them gave a qurban, very similar to one another. Externally, you would have looked at it and been like, okay, he gave this and he gave that. He gave this, he gave that. They look very similar to one another. One person will give 1,000, another person will give 1,000. They both give 1,000. But what happens is externally it might look the same. On the outside it might look the same. But it doesn't matter what's on the outside here. Both of them gave a qurban, but internally something was wrong. Although externally they gave some money, some wealth, some sadaqah, whatever it might be, some assistance. But one of them said that I'm doing it, Ya Allah, because I want to please you and make you happy. And the other one said, Ya Allah, he said, I can't wait to get married to that girl. I'm very much desirous of her. Or maybe it was that I want that people will praise me. Or I want to show that I'm better than my brother. I want to show I'm better than other people. How many times does it happen in our hearts where we feel like I have to show that I'm better than everyone here, but I have to give something? Right? Do you ever feel that sometimes? Sometimes when someone asks us for some type of wealth or some type of sadaqah or donation, we just feel like, and these people give something, I have to show that I'm better than everyone here, right? Or if someone else gives something, you're like, what is this guy doing? He's clearly doing it because he's trying to show off. Imagine when Habil gave his Qurban, Qabil looks at it and says, this guy was just trying to show off with it. This is absolutely meaningless, absolutely nothing. Both of them gave something on the outside. But what's the matter on the inside? فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا. One of them was accepted. وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنْ أَخَرِ. In that time, the way the acceptance would happen, because you're wondering like, wow, that's cool. They knew it was accepted. How did they know? A fire would come down and it would incinerate and it would burn that qurban which was accepted. They would know immediately if it was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. So the fire came down and it hit Habib's goat or whatever it was. And Qabiz was left alone. At this moment, when we see that someone else has given like a beautiful sadaqah or qurbani or whatever it is for Allah Ta'ala, at this moment when you see someone else, mashallah, maybe they're accepted by Allah Ta'ala, someone is living a very good life, right? Someone is living a very pious life, for example. They're praying the salah on time, their kids are listening to them, they're living a very joyous, happy life. What at this moment should we tell ourselves? You should probably tell yourself, I need to improve my own life. I'm at fault here. Maybe I'm the one to blame. You know, remember Iblis and Shaitan and all that stuff, Adam alayhi salam, right? The correct thing is to say, Ya Allah, I'm responsible for my own actions. I'm not responsible for their actions. So you know what, Ya Allah? I should just take the blame and just say, I'm at fault here. Ya Allah, please forgive me. I'll try harder. Okay? What is the wrong thing to do? What is the wrong thing to do? وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. Why did he get it? What did he do? Literally, it's mentioned in one narration, the Qabil went to Adam alayhi salam and said, oh father, it's because you made dua for him, you didn't make dua for me. It's because you made dua for him, you didn't make dua for me. If you made dua for me, I would have been accepted like him. He's looking at everyone else and saying, this is clearly your fault, it's not my fault. He looks at him and says, you look at this person. He will look at this person and say, he's just a show off. He only has like a successful life because clearly, you know, clearly there's something he's trying to hide, something trying to conceal. And there's something I can't see. So clearly there's something wrong here. The picture cannot be this green. And he gets upset. Why is his family better than mine? Why is his sadaqah better than mine? Why is his house better than mine? Why is his car better than mine? Why does he drive the Tesla, the latest model, and I drive the lower Tesla? Why is it that he drives this car and I don't drive this car? Why is it this and this? Why is he? What's wrong with him? And this much pushing and driving and hatred that's coming out, قَالَ لَأَقَتُلَنَّكَ. He says, without a doubt, for sure, I swear I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Oh man, this is where it leads. This is the dangers we're seeing here. One of the biggest dangers that we're seeing here is that Qabil is not getting driven alone. There's someone that's behind him pushing this jealousy. This is the danger of jealousy. Jealousy leads us to such terrible things. You would never say as a regular human being, as a decent human being, you would never ever say these things. But what happens is because of jealousy, we'll do outrageous things. We spoke about many of them before. We'll hate a person's child, their grandchildren. We'll have such anger that our day is spent. Imagine this, subhanAllah. We're trying our best to think about Allah, but this person is looking at the way that you could be destroyed. Whole day is spent just, straight up Bollywood, you know, straight up Bollywood. Like this is Ajib. Like, man, this guy needs to be ruined and killed. Something needs to happen to him. Qabil, his whole mind became obsessive, right? I'm going to kill you. I don't care about anything else. You're going to die. So we can push to this point. Okay, and then you're given this example of this boy, Habil. What a wondrous person he is. What a wonderful person he is. The Prophet ﷺ, he praises him. You're going to come in the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ praises him because of what an amazing individual he is. So then he goes and says, "Qala," look, he says to him, "Innama yataqabbalu Allahu min al-muttaqin." He said, Qabil, slow down. Imagine your brother just told you, I'm going to kill you. What are you going to say? All right, man, let's do this. I've been waiting for this moment my entire life. You know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I got my sword, your sword. Let's make a circle. Let's make it out. You know, start the fires. No one's getting out of the octagon. You know what I'm saying? This is how we feel. We're like, all right, time for battle mode. You know, UFC. I've been waiting for this MMA challenge. You know, subhanAllah, we're ready to smash this brother. Really, we would be. But subhanAllah, Habib is a different type of individual. And he says something very important. He says, Qabil, why are you looking at me? إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ. You think I did the taqabbul? You think I did the qabul here? You think I accepted it? You think it was me? You thought it was Adam? You thought it was you? You thought it was anyone? None of us. Allah accepted it. Who are you supposed to be mad at? Who are you supposed to be upset at? Man, relax. Chill out. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ Allah only accepts. And it's not because I am Habil that you're going to accept. It's not because Shakil is Shakil that Allah accepts. It's not because Adam is Adam. Allah Ta'ala says, "Is innama yataqabbalu Allah minal muttaqin." If you have taqwa of Allah, Allah will accept from you too. He didn't say, I am accepted by Allah. He didn't say, my action will accept by Allah. He says, look, if you have taqwa, Allah will accept from you. It's a shared effort. If you want, you can have it too, brother. It's nothing wrong with that. Taqwa is for everyone. It's a free of charge type of thing. Literally cost zero money, mashallah. Just have a pure heart. Is it just, you know, and that's the idea that Habib is trying to get across to his brother. What is this beautiful idea he's trying to get across? Habib, recognize that, look, it's not, I'm not at blame. Adam is not at blame. Allah's not at blame. The heart is at blame here. Externally, you gave something for Allah. Internally, what was happening inside? That's what you're responsible for. And this is the thing. People, unfortunately, are so obsessed with the external and forgetting about the internal. Sometimes it's something which is inside that ends up pushing us and making us towards doing those things which are incorrect or doing those things which are wrong. And we have to be fixing the middle, the inside part, right? And this is the thing we're not. If we don't fix the inside, right? And so we look at someone else as well. You and I need some taqwa. if we had the taqwa of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts such small things. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The Prophet ﷺ used to say to people, he said that if the later generation were to give a mountain of gold, if the later generation would give the mountain of gold in sadaqah, it would not equal the if one of my Sahaba gave one hand span of dates, because their intention is so pure. Qabil, what was in your heart when you decided to give it? Would you want to marry this girl? What did you want? You wanted people to say they were better than me? What was in your intention when you did it? That's ruining everything. Allah Ta'ala says in direct hadith Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala says, Ana agna shuraka'i anish shirk. Allah Ta'ala says, if anyone ascribes a partner to me, I am not in need of any partner whatsoever. If you did any action for anyone else beside me, Allah Ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, you go to them, ask for the reward. I'm giving you absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. You wanted someone to praise you? No problem. Allah says, I'll make them praise you. You wanted some fame, some glory? Allah says, don't worry, take all the fame and all the glory. On the day of judgment, you get zero. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, very explicit to them. And this is the reality of the matter too. People, unfortunately, get obsessed with the external. And we say, oh man, this guy, he only gave like 50 bucks. Man, this fundraiser should have been like, oh man, you should have been dropping like thousands of dollars. This guy gave $50. What's wrong with this guy? We get really upset that someone gives so little. Subhanallah, you know what's in the heart. This little kid, subhanAllah, comes up and gives all the money in his Baqarah bank. You know, he'd break it open. He just gave it, mashallah. Right? It was the all he had. Right? There was two Sahaba. There was one Sahabi, Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, gives, he says, I give 4,000 dinars or 4,000 dirhams for Allah Ta'ala's way. Right? And he says, I give 4,000 dirhams for Allah Ta'ala's way. And he says, I loan them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I expect Allah to give it. Right? I'm sorry. He said, I made 4,000. He says, 2,000 for my family. And Ya Rasulullah, 2,000 for Allah, I loan them to Allah. I expect Allah to give me back. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, may Allah put barakah in it. You can expect Allah will give you back. One Sahabi spends his entire night working. He went so diligently into his fields. He said, the Prophet asked for sadaqah. So he started scooping and picking and picking. He picked just basically like two bags of dates. And so then he goes to his family and says, this one's for you. The other bag goes to the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, I picked two bags of dates. One bag I left for my family. The other one I said, I expect from Allah to give me. And the Prophet said, Allah will give you barakah in it. One munafiq goes and says, this man, what does Allah have to do with this sadaqah? You thought Allah, if you gave this much or this much or this much, did we really think Allah needed it? SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. We thought Allah needed this? Allah needs absolutely nothing from anyone. Don't be deceived by external. We get deceived by people giving small amounts of taqwa. We think they're very pious people. We also get deceived by people's external, right? Everyone keeps looking at the Facebook, right? Facebook. It's not a heart book, you know? It's a Facebook. It just shows you everything on the face. Externally, you just see what's in the people. You never know what's inside. People can show you all these beautiful things, all the food that they eat, all the different things, right? It becomes like a food book, you know? And you see all the different stuff. show me what's happening after, brother. You know, like, subhanAllah, you know, what's the reality of mankind? What's the reality of humanity? This is the thing we don't understand. So Habil, he goes and says, Allah only accepts from the people of taqwa. He goes and says to him, لَإِن بَسَطْ إِلَيَّ لِتَقَتُلَنِي. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi, Allah ta'ala wants you to understand how much of a muttaqi, how pious is Habil. He says that if you were to extend your hand to me, Qabil, لِتَقَتُلَنِي, if you're really going to extend your hand and to kill me, your brother, if you're really going to do that, right? And this is the thing, right? It's all because of the hand movement. He says, you have to move this first and then make the intention, then grab it and then cut me. He said, if you can just stop this process, right? If you can just stop the process of the hand moving forward to not go towards me, then you can stop everything. If you're really going to extend your hand towards me and try your best to stab me and kill me, مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطِي يَدِي إِلَيْكَ لِأَقَتُلَكَ, I'm never ever going to extend my hand towards you to kill you. He said, if you were really going to do that and push that sword into me or smash my head or kill me, whatever it might be, he said, I will never lift a single hand against you. This takes some high level taqwa to do. High level taqwa to do. Right? This is the idea here. Are you allowed to take self-defense? Yeah, obviously. Obviously, that's an Islamic right. That's your right. Bear arms, brother. Right, you can do that. You have the right to defend yourself. But what happens here? What happens when you defend yourself? You see someone trying to do dhulm, trying to oppress you. Sometimes we see the zalim, and I'm like, man, this guy tried to wrong me. Maybe I should do the dhulm too, back to him. Right, that's what the Prophet ﷺ said. إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْتَيْهِمَا فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, when two Muslims meet each other with their swords, the killer and the killed are in Jahannam. Whoa, what? They said, Ya Rasulullah, the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, had al qatil. We get it, the killer, that made sense. He killed the guy, he did something haram, he should go into the fire. Well, from that battle, maqtul, what did the murdered one, what did he do? The Prophet said, Inno kana harisan la qatli sahibihi. The Prophet said he wanted that he would kill his brother as well. He desired it, he craved it, he wanted that same thing. That niyyah was in his heart that I want to take vengeance, I want to kill this man. And because of that reason, right? This is why Habib is on a different level. He says, I'm not even going to try to attempt to hurt you because maybe my intention will change in the middle. You know, subhanAllah, if you remember the story of Adam alayhi salam, don't go near that tree. Habib said, I'm not even going to extend my hand. I'm not even going to try my best to go near it. Okay, let alone this is a halal thing. He could have went and tried his best to go and try to like stab him or attack him, whatever. He said, halal thing, haram thing aside, halal, I'm not even going near. Because if it could lead to haram, why would I do it? Why would I do it? The Prophet ﷺ said in beautiful hadith of Timidi, you'll never become a true person of taqwa until you leave that which is halal because you fear that it might be haram. The Prophet ﷺ said, you become a true muttaqi when you become a person who fears that maybe the thing I'm about to do right now might lead me towards haram. This is the thing, people often say, brother, why don't you eat from there? Brother, why don't you do this and that? I said, you know, Mufti Pahambali Sallallahu Alaihi had a very beautiful answer. And people ask, like, you know, Hazrat, why don't you eat this? Why don't you eat this? Why don't you eat this? He said, it's not required in Islam that I eat everything. You don't have to eat everything every single time. You can be a vegetarian sometimes. If you're not sure if it's dhabiha halal, then why are you going to risk your entire akhirah for some hot chicken, whatever? We will do that, unfortunately. Everything. Oh, brother has a certificate, all these different things. You have no idea what the certificate is certifying. SubhanAllah, in America, you can still put a certification on anything. No one's checking anything. This is the wild, wild west here. And we're on the east coast. It's ajeeb. You know, the type of thing, like everyone could put a certificate on anything. And a person's like, brother, I'm so hungry, brother, hungry. You can fill your stomach with literally anything. If you ate dirt, you would have been filled too. What we're going to do? We're going to possibly take a piece of Jahannam in our stomachs and say, you know what? It's fine. Brother said it was halal. Someday he'll get it. You knew this person might be feeding you haram. And then you said, not a big deal. We knew that this person might be feeding us haram. And we said, not a big deal. Could you imagine that type of understanding? We belittled the command of Allah. Ta'ala said, not a big deal. On the Qiyamah, he can take it. Is that how much we love our Muslim brothers? On Qiyamah, this daddy brother, our brother with the beard, yeah, he can take it on Jahannam. SubhanAllah. Look at where Habil is. Look at who we are. Which spectrum are we on? Are we on the Ha or the Qaf? Are we on the Halal with the Habil? Or are we on the Qaf with the Qabil? Ha, it's a small Ha, not a big Ha, okay? Yeah, which spectrum are we on? This is the thing here. Habil says, you know, forget it. If it's a chance that I will get upset at you and I'll do it. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was destroying this man on the battlefield. Took off his shield and everything. It's mentioned in narration. When he defeated, when he put him onto the ground, the man spat in his face. And Ali radiallahu anhu put away his sword and walked away. And he said, the man's like, what? Why? We were in a battle. Why? This is not making sense. Why did you walk away? We were fighting. He says, when I was fighting you before, I was doing it for Allah's sake. But when you spat in my face, I just thought I have to kill you. And he said, and that moment I changed, my intention changed, so I abandoned fighting. This is what it means. A person of taqwa, this is muttaqeen. You want to know why Habib is so great? He said, forget about halal. I'm not even going to go towards haram. I'm not even going towards halal. Forget it if it's going to lead to something wrong. He says, and he gives a really good reason. You don't know what his reason is? He says, مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطِي يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I fear Allah, the Rabb of everything. I fear Allah. That Qabil, you know, you if you want me to fight back or do things like that, and they said that Habib was stronger than him. They said that physically he was stronger than him. Physically he was bigger than him. He could have done it. He could have later taken it. He goes and says, but look, I fear Allah. Perhaps if I do something wrong, Allah will take me to task. You're asking, this is such a pure man. Amazing heart he has. Beautiful heart he has. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I fear Allah, رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I don't want to take a chance with these things. Why would I risk my relationship with Allah? Can you imagine for a person that imagine if we died right now at this moment and you have to stand before Allah? What would Allah say about our intentions? What are we doing here? What are we living for? Who are we protecting? Who are we trying to fight for? All these different things, these questions will come. If Allah asks us any of these things, what will we say? SubhanAllah, may Allah forgive and protect us. I remember one time, one brother, he, you know, this is a high level talk. Forget it. We don't have time for these high level talks, mashallah. So then what happens? Habib, he goes and says, but I do warn you, brother. Inni uridu an tabua bi ismi wa ismika. If you're so jealous of me and you don't want what I want, he says, what I want, Habib goes and says, because why? He's a da'i. He's trying his best to convince his brother. So he says to him, if you don't want what I want, I'll tell you what I want. I want that when we leave this meeting right now, I want that you leave with your sin and the sin of killing me. He's like, if you're going to kill me, then on the day of judgment, I want that you leave with the guna of that too. A person who's jealous, would they ever want what the person they're jealous of, would they ever want that this person be happy? Habib is saying, it'll make me really happy, brother. If you left this moment with me, he's a very smart guy. He goes and says, if you left this moment with me, and that you killed me, then on the day of judgment, you leave with everyone's sins. Now, if you were put in that position, someone said that you leave with all the sins, what would you say? Okay, maybe I shouldn't. And even the hasid, right, the jealous person be like, nah, man. This guy, if he's going to be happy from this, then I don't want him to be happy, right? I want to see him in misery and pain. This guy's going to be happy on the day of judgment? Nah, that's not going to make it good for me. I want you, and then Habib goes and says, look, I would like this to be like this, and that you be fatakuna min ashabin nar, you be from the people of the fire. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ. This is the punishment, those who are oppressors. He tells Qabil, be careful. Go ahead, take the step. Push the button. Make it happen. Do what you want. Go ahead. Obey your thirst. Just do it. Whatever it is. Send a text message. Do whatever. Push the trigger. Make it happen. Whatever you need. He says, but understand, if you do this, you'll be from the people of Jahannam. Now, if that warning was put in our heart every single moment, you think you could live a life like a normal person anymore? Man, that Fajr bell, that alarm, you wake up before the Fajr alarm. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, the rooster has bested you. The rooster is better than you. He said, he wakes up at dawn. Yeah, he said, you should be waking up before the rooster. Wake up at tahajjud, pray some raka'ats for Allah Ta'ala. Why are you going to let an animal beat you? Does Qabil be defeated by an animal too? This threat, this push, this impression was put before Qabil. And Qabil listens to it. فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ. The ayah says, when Qabil heard this reminder from Habib, his soul started to tell him that, don't worry, it's not a big deal. It's okay. We got room for this. The earth is very big. We'll take care of this, don't worry. So his soul, Tawwa'at, made it easy for him. His soul started to tell him, it's not a big deal, don't worry about it. This is the first person that's going to be killed on earth, it's not a big deal. Right? It's not what's the harm in it? Just finish him. What's the problem? You got to satisfy yourself. You're going to let this guy disgrace you like that, embarrass you in front of everyone, your future wife-to-be and everyone. Everyone's going to talk about this for years and decades. You're going to let someone embarrass you like that? Really? Say something. Talk back. Do something. Be a man. Right? The soul is saying crazy stuff to him. Amazing things. In the inside, this is happening. Outside, what is happening? Shaitan. Because no one's ever killed anyone on the earth. Okay, this is about the first murder here. No one's ever killed anyone outside. So Shaitan, what he does is, he took the form of a bird. To mention the narration, because Qabil was thinking, like, how do I kill? Killing has never come before. So then, you know, he saw that Shaitan came in the form of a bird, and there was another bird. And so Shaitan went to it, and then he took a rock with his talons, and he threw it onto the head of the bird and smashed it. So Qabil is getting ideas now from outside. Shaitan is affecting him. Inside, his soul is telling him it's not a big deal. So now he has the method, and he has the intention. This is proper murder. This is a proper murder. فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُ الْقَتْلَ أَخِيهِ. His whole tone is not a big deal. Go ahead, Habil. What's going to happen? What's the worst that can happen? So ultimately, Qabil, he takes his chance and opportunity. And he says, look, He goes and takes his hands, he puts it around the neck, he takes a rock and he smashes it, and he فقتله, he kills him immediately. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. He became from the absolute losers, one of the worst of all of mankind. The Prophet ﷺ said, he said that whoever kills anyone from now on, the Prophet said, whoever kills anyone, the sin all goes back to Qabil. Because he's the first one who showed everyone how to kill another person. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever invents a good way for people to practice deen, then he'll get the reward of that, of his action, and anyone who practices that way. Were you to build a well, were you to build a masjid, were you to build a madrasa, were you to give your sadaqah something good, the Prophet ﷺ said, inshallah, everyone who practices on it, you'll get the reward for it. And whoever invents a terrible, evil, despicable way, the Prophet ﷺ said that anyone does anything afterwards, the casino, the picture, the movie, the whatever, some bakwas kid asked me in the morning, he said that, oh, is it jayz to sell feet pictures? I'm like, what the freak is wrong with people today? Ajib, like, the sin will be ajib. SubhanAllah, and you want to delete for why it's haram. I said, get the heck out of my face. I don't have time for this type of nonsense. SubhanAllah, we have actual questions to solve. SubhanAllah. But in any case, like, there's so many things wrong with it. The first person who did that sin, the first person who did the haram, every single person does it afterwards because he invented the way, everyone will get that sin as well. People go and say that this family member is starting it. So, you know, why not? Why not do this, right? And this is the thing. Don't perpetuate someone's haram. We do this all the time. Our cultures tell us to do a lot of haram things. Don't perpetuate it. Don't continue it. Let it go. Break it off. Just say, look, I'm not going to continue this. Because if I do this, this person will commit a crime. They'll get the sin as well. A person who has a photography, right? A person who has a video. A haram video they have on YouTube or wherever it is. That sin will continuously. They'll continue to get the sin again and again and again. But what they have. And that's the danger of recording things. Don't just record your life. SubhanAllah. The NSA is listening already. The CIA is already taking a tab on Moa Shakil, whatever. You know, everyone's taking a tab on everyone here. But don't let them record you. Don't record these things. Why are you recording everything and sharing it everywhere? One day you might regret it, you know? People are like dancing, doing balde balde and the movie and the wedding. Why are you recording it? Like, why? If you're doing something wrong, keep it between you and Allah. Bainakum wa bain Allah. On the day of judgment, you know what's beautiful about this? A sin that you kept in private, you never revealed and you felt bad about. On Qiyamah, Allah will take your hisab in private. Allah will take your reckoning in private. Allah will put down a curtain, a divine curtain between you and all the people on the earth and everyone that exists. Allah, it's a hadith, as if He puts His hand over your shoulder and reads the book of deeds with you. And you say, Allah, I did that at 3 a.m. I did that at 1 a.m. I did that this time. And Allah will say, you saw all these things here? He said, yes, I do remember, Ya Allah. He said, you kept them secret, right? He said, yes, Ya Allah, I kept them secret. He said, the same way you conceal them in the world, I'll conceal them here. I forgive you. Go to Jannah. I forgive you. Go to Jannah. Don't expose yourself. Why would you expose yourself? Don't be pagal, man. People are all bragging about what haram things they did. Don't brag as well. Taking pictures of whatever chicken you're eating and all this stuff. You're showing everyone you're haram. Why are you going to do that? Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Qabil, he started the way for people to do so. And the Prophet ﷺ said, فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, he became from the absolute losers. At that moment, Qabil realized what type of terrible thing he just did. Because now in front of him is no longer his nafs is talking and shaitan is not there. At the difficult moment, where do you think shaitan goes? He ran long time ago. The mushrikeen, do you know why Badr basically started? Because one of the mushrikeen, where shaitan came in the form of one of the elders of the polytheists, he came in a form and he said, go out and fight. What's the big deal? Go out. We'll support you. We'll fight behind you. And when the battle of Badr started, shaitan left a long time ago. He's like, yo, bro, you on your own right now. You take care of it. You handle the problem, right? You handle the problem. What did he see? A dead body before him. Blood is on the ground. It's not going in. He's realizing, recognizing that, you know, human beings, they die like this. It's very tragic, right? Imagine this. You're seeing this before you. Oh my God, what did I do? Right? My jealousy. What did I do? I've spent my whole life trying to curse this person, slander this person. My whole life was against this one guy. And now what do you find? His kids are ruined, his family's ruined, his house is ruined. What did I do to him? No, what did he do to me that made me want to do this to him? SubhanAllah. Like, you know, you start thinking back, like, shoot, I made a terrible mistake. Qabil's looking at his body, he's panicking, looking left to right. The nafs is not talking anymore. The nafs is not saying anymore. Shaitan not saying anymore. You left by yourself, brother. Figure it out now. So Qabil says, I can't go to my father. What am I going to tell my father? I can't go to my mother. What am I going to tell my mother? I can't tell my brothers and sisters. Forget about the marriage. Forget about the qurbani. Forget about anything. Nothing even. He grabs Qabil on his back and he starts to walk. The Mufassirin, right? He possibly walked for 40 days. He probably walked for 1 year. He probably walked for 100 years. Allah knows how long he kept moving and moving and moving, because now he needs to find a way to get out of here because he doesn't know what to do with the body. The shame. What is that word in Arabic that's used for this? So'atihi. The so'a. The so'a is your awra. It is the private parts. With some, you know, private parts of a person, what do? You conceal them. You hide them. You don't want to expose them. It's so shameful. It's just he's carrying his private. He's carrying something so bad on his back. He can't show it to anyone anymore. This is the idea, the loneliness that a person will feel from jealousy. The jealous person dies a very lonely death. That person that you loved and you know you kept pushing away because of jealousy, they won't come to your qabr. They won't come to your janazah. You said they don't want to come. We die a very lonely death. Allah protect us. Allah forgive us afiyah from this. Qabil is by himself. He's panicking. He doesn't know what to do. What are you going to do? His body, the brother's body is decaying. Well, imagine what a terrible sight is happening to him. Seeing all this stuff happening to his brother. And now finally, Allah Ta'ala says, I'll send something to him to teach him. I'll send something to teach him. Allah Ta'ala sends not an angel. Allah does not send a superior creature. Allah does not send something that is noble. Allah sends a ghurab. Allah sends a crow. A crow. What is a crow? A crow is such a terrifying animal. Such a terrifying animal. The Prophet ﷺ describes it as one of the sinful animals. Because what does it do? It only goes around things which are filthy and disgusting. When you see crows, have you ever seen crows in Burlington? I take this lesson whenever I drive by, I see crows. You always see crows on carcasses, on bodies that are eaten on the ground. Crows are birds. They look like pigeons, right? They look like regular tiny birds. But they're carnivorous and they devour like carcasses and dead animals. If an animal dies on the ground, you'll see immediately crows start to fly around, start to chew on it and start to bite from it. It's a sign of misfortune. It is a despicable animal. Allah says, oh Qabil, you expected a good teacher from me? Allah says, I'll give you a teacher, one of the worst of all animals. There was once upon a time where his father was greater than angels because of who he was and what he learned and what he was as an individual. Allah made him greater than angels. But if you decide to take the path, if you decide to take the path of haram and something wrong, Allah says, I'll make you less than an animal. An animal will teach you what to do. This is what happens, unfortunately, in our societies. You're asking nowadays, look at an ant and a bee. What amazing societies they have. Would you not agree? Beautiful, structured, civilized. Amazing, you see the ant holes. If you go in, you're going to see a maze, layer upon layer. Amazing stuff that's there. A beehive, subhanAllah, they work together as a team. They make sure to accomplish things. Someone sent me a video of two bees working together. There was a bottle of soda. And so each one kept spinning it and spinning it until the cap came off. I said, subhanAllah. Subhanallah, this is some crazy stuff. These animals can do such amazing things. But you see our societies, how broken are they? How broken are they? Even animals need to keep families, you know? And now look at all of our societies, human societies. We're worse than animals nowadays. Worse than animals. The sabak comes from the animal now. Allah says, يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The crow was flying around the earth and is searching. So what did it do? Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud narrate this narration. They say that a crow fought with another animal. And it started to claw it and strike at it and it killed the other crow. And so then what did the crow start to do? Start to claw at the ground with his foot and started to break out the area. And then the crow took the body with his beak and he just put it in there and then he covered it up with the dirt. So Qabil goes and says, Ya waylata, destruction be to me. May I be destroyed. May I be barbad. May I be finished. Could I at least have been like this crow? Could I at least have figured this much out? But Allah says, if you let go of your humanity, if you let go of the ibadah, you decide to live for your nafs and jealousy and all these different things, shaitan is laughing. Could you imagine what shaitan is doing this moment? He is laughing. His whole time was what? I couldn't deceive Adam and his wife. Now I got his kids. And he's enjoying it from behind the scenes. But imagine how shaitan laughs at us. Every time we do something foolish like that, how much he laughs at us. He tells you what, just click the picture and what's the big deal? It's okay, it's haram, you know, whatever. Allah will forgive you. All these different things. As soon as you do it and you feel regret and remorse for what you did, he leaves you. He doesn't care about you. And he laughs at you at the end. Why would we shame ourselves? The crow is a lonely animal. Qabi is about to die a lonely death. So he says, I couldn't have been from this animal. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ. He became from those who became regretful. A complete regret came to his heart. From now on to the day of judgment, imagine Qiyamah when you see this man, what's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to this type of individual? Allah protect us and give us afiyah. May Allah protect us and give us afiyah. When Adam and finally heard about what happened, oh, the heart of a father to realize that his son was murdered by not someone else from outside the family, not some other animal or something like that. He was murdered by his own brother. What's the pain of the heart? What's the feeling of the heart, the remorse, the regret? Adam just looks at it and, you know, it's mentioned about how Qabil, Allah alam, you know, that the earth opened up and swallowed him afterwards. Allah alam about the reality of the matter. The destruction, the face. Do you think Qabil could ever show his face in front of his father anymore? to die a lonely death. That's what's going to happen to everyone that goes through this type of process. So Adam alayhi salam, he goes and cries. He cries for such a long time. He's cried so much. Adam has cried so much. They mentioned about it in hadith from Atta al-Khurasani, rahmatullahi, that Adam alayhi salam, when he got down from Jannah, he cried for 70 years because he said, Allah, please make sure the tawbah is acceptable. All right. When he came down from Jannah, he did so. And then when he cried for that, he cried for the tree. And then he cried another many years because of what? Because Habil was killed. This is how he lived his life, you know. And he tried his best. Could you imagine what a father has done his entire life? He's been trying to teach and teach and teach. He taught him, right? He taught everyone, don't kill. Don't do this haram, don't do this haram. But nothing went through for certain sons and certain children, right? But this is not the thing Allah Ta'ala wants us to focus on. Allah Ta'ala wants us to focus on the good parts. That there is, mashallah, the Prophet ﷺ said, he said that when you come to a time of fitna, when you come to a time of fitna and fasad, the Prophet ﷺ said, be like the better son of Adam alayhi salam. Be like Habib. The Prophet ﷺ said that if someone comes to your house to try to kill you, become like Habib, protect yourself, defend, you know, to just sit down and just take what's going to happen to you. You'll be in the best position, inshallah ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ, a time will come that a person who stands is better than the one who walks, and the person who sits is better than the one who stands. And the Prophet said, they said, Ya Rasulullah, what do we do at that time? The Prophet said, Kun, Khayr ibn Adam, be like the better of the sons of Adam, be like Habib. Just sit down and just, you know, take what's going to happen to you. This is talking about the time of Dajjal, the era that's going to come, such a terrible time where Muslims will be fighting Muslims and different types of situations happen. Then what happens is what? Be like the better son of Adam. Adam cries for so long, but life continues, life goes on. The children become plentiful. The children become plentiful. Some of them mentioned that 20 kids were born. Some of them said that 1,000 kids were born. Adam saw his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. He's living for a long time. If you remember, he's living for a very long time. If Dawood was given 60 years, he gave another 40. It's coming time, right? 954, 955, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, right? 60 is coming. All right? And then the angel of death comes to him. Says, yeah, Adam, time's up. He said, no, I have another 40 years. I have another 40 years. He lived a very wholesome life, a very good life, right? So the angels go and say, the Prophet narrates this hadith. He says that Adam forgot, so the children will always forget. Okay? The Prophet said, write down your contracts. The Prophet said, write down your contracts. When Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he was on the verge of passing away, his children actually came to him and said, I desire something. Adam alayhi salam said, I desire something. Okay, we're almost done, okay? Everyone's been very patient. May Allah reward everyone for their mujahad and sabr, mashallah. So then Adam alayhi salam, his children come to him and he says, I desire something. He said, what do you desire, father? He says that I desire some fruits from Jannah. I desire some fruits from Jannah. So the kids have never been there. But they said, if dad wants it, let's look around. So they start to explore and they can't find anything that looks like this Jannah that you're looking for. You know, if he's trying to describe it to them, what he's going to describe? What are you going to say to them? Yeah, this banana that tastes like an apple, and like this banana is actually like, you know, it's like chocolate colored and all this different, like, you know, and all this different stuff. What are you going to explain to them? Nothing's going to make sense to them. So they go around, and then the angels come down. And then he said that, what are you looking for? Aina tatabun. Abuna maridun washtaha min thimar al-jannah. Our father is sick. He wants some fruits from Jannah. And they said, faqala lam irji'u. So just go back. Right, enough with the search. Faqad mada abukum. Your father has passed away. Okay, so they go back and they see their father has passed away, right? And then the angels actually pray the first, because now it's in terms of the passing, that is the first janazah that's going to be performed. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. This is a very long prophetic practice, right? This is a prophetic practice in the beginning of time. So the angels, they pray and they do takbir of 4 unto Adam alayhi salam. And they show everyone how to give the proper janazah for everyone. I want everyone to bear in mind, they're only Muslims at this time. There's no mushriks, right? Everyone is worshiping one Allah. Adam alayhi salam did a tremendous job. If you're talking about all of his children, only one goes off. SubhanAllah, he did a tremendous job, right? It's a wonderful effort that he did, right? So then even then, you still get those children that end up doing like those obnoxious things like Musa alayhi salam, where he comes. I'm saying Musa is obnoxious, I'm saying that, you know, sometimes you get that child who will just say something back to the father. So on the day of judgment, Adam alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam actually argue, right? So what does Musa alayhi salam say? He says to Adam alayhi salam, well, Adam, you are the father of all mankind, right? And Allah Ta'ala created you with his hand, and Allah Ta'ala put you in Jannah, and Allah Ta'ala did this for you and this for you and this for you. And you're like, oh wow, my son is praising me, mashallah. What a great thing, right? And then, but you put us in such a loss. You took us out from Jannah. So then Adam alayhi salam says, son Musa, said that didn't Allah choose you? Right? Didn't Allah Ta'ala favor you? Didn't Allah Ta'ala give you this and this and this and this? He said, yes. Okay. It said, and didn't Allah write in the Torah that He gave you that if Allah writes something for you, it's going to happen? He said, why are you blaming me on something that Allah wrote? Fahajja Musa, Adam Musa. Adam is invested in Musa in the debate. Musa asked Allah and says, Ya Allah, how did Adam show gratitude for what you did to him? You created him, you blew a soul into him, you granted him a boat in Jannah. The angels made sajda for you, right? Before him. Oh, and then Allah Ta'ala says to him, and this is what I want you to remember, okay? Allah Ta'ala says to him, how did Musa ask, how did Adam show praise to you? How did he make shukr of you properly? I want to make that shukr too. So then Allah Ta'ala says, oh Musa, he knew that I did everything for him, and then he praised me every single time. What were the first words of Adam alayhi salam? Alhamdulillah. Live life in humility like our father. Just say Alhamdulillah, the blessings come from Allah. And stay that connection with Allah Ta'ala. That's what you want to remember from the story. Inshallah, may Allah grant us tawfiq and understanding. Save us from the trials and tribulations of this world. Save us from jealousy and fitna and fasad. Save us from the whisperings of our souls, whispering of shaitan and iblis. May Allah grant us the life of Habib and save us from the life of Qabil. And may Allah give thousands and thousands of blessings upon our father, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakallah khairan. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.